by translation and purport by Sivanga Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. The Lord saw that Brahma was very anxious about the planning and construction of the different planetary systems and was depressed upon seeing the devastating water. He could understand the intention of Brahma, and thus he spoke in deep, thoughtful words, removing all the illusion that had arisen. Purport. The devastating water was so fearful that even Brahma was perturbed at its appearance and became very anxious about how to situate the different planetary systems in outer space to accommodate the different kinds of living entities, such as the human beings, those lower than the human beings, and the superhuman beings. All the planets in the universe are situated according to the different grades of living entities, under the influence of the modes of material nature. There are three modes of material nature, and when they are mixed with one another, they become nine. When the nine are mixed, they become 81, and the 81 also become mixed, and thus we ultimately do not know how the delusion increases and increases. Lord Brahma had to accommodate different places and situations for the requisite bodies of the conditioned souls. The task was meant only for Brahma, and no one in the universe can even understand how difficult it was. But, by the grace of the Lord, Brahma was able to execute the tremendous task so perfectly that everyone is amazed to see the workmanship of the Vidhata, or the regulator. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshulun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakmalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sagna Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sate Devi Paramami Hari Priye Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurate Sve Namaha Pancha Tattva Makam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhakta Avataram Bhakta Kyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam Arojya Bhagavan Vajesha Taniyas Taddama Vindavanam Ramya Kashi Dupasana Vajavado Vargena Vakalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanamalam Prema Pumahotamahan Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Matamidam Tatra Dara Naparaha Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nichinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirishesha Shunyavadi Paschachade Shatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vancha kalpa trubhyascha kripa sindhubhyo vacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Hare Krishna. Before I begin, I'd like to seek all the blessings of the seniors, all the Vaishnavas, so that we can together churn the nectar from this most glorious literature, the Srimad Bhagavatam, and we can share something purifying, mostly to myself, but hopefully we can share something that's useful as well. So I'll just repeat the translation. The Lord saw that Brahma was very anxious about the planning and construction of the different planetary systems and was depressed upon seeing the devastating water. He could understand the intention of Brahma, and thus he spoke in deep, thoughtful words, removing all the illusion that has arisen. So this material world is a place of suffering. And ultimately, the suffering is meant to do two things, as per the order of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. It's supposed to refine our intention and reform our action. We can see our whole process of Krishna consciousness is just trying to do these two basic things. Reform our intention and reform our action. So in this situation, we can see that Lord Brahma, he's being pushed outside his comfort zone by the Lord himself. And sometimes in our own life, sometimes whether by our authorities or just life itself, the situation pushes us outside our comfort zone and we need to take shelter of the Lord, just as Lord Brahma has done here. In the previous series of verses, Lord Brahma has been praying to the Lord for various things. Does anyone want to share something about what Lord Brahma has been praying for? Anyone?
That he won't become proud.
That I won't become proud, yes, good. What else did Lord Brahma pray for? Inspiration to create, yes. He spoke of a few verses, I think, so maybe there's something a little bit more. Anyone remembers?
Who am I?
Who am I that I don't become deviated? Protect me from this false ego. And so we've just ended Lord Brahma's prayers. And now Lord Brahma is sitting there. He's got the whole material world to try and create. He's the engineer behind it. And he's a bit stuck. He doesn't know what to do. It says here, Lord Brahma is very anxious about the planning, construction of the different planetary systems and was depressed upon seeing the devastating water. So he clearly did not know what to do. He was confused. But the Lord, he understands our situation. He is inside each and every one of us. And he looks at the intention that we have when we are performing our service. How difficult is the service? Is it within our capacity? And in the Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada writes that this task was meant only for Brahma, and no one in the universe can even understand how difficult it was. And Brahma didn't have anyone else to turn to. He was the first living being. Right? So it's unimaginable being given a task. You have no peers, no seniors, nobody you can ask about how to carry out this task. And he only had one person to turn to, and that was the Lord himself. So, let's read the purport and then we'll discuss bits of the purport together. So the devastating water was so fearful that even Brahma was perturbed at its appearance and became very anxious about how to situate the different planet systems in outer space to accommodate the different kinds of living beings, such as the human beings, those lower than the human beings, and the superhuman beings. All the planets in the universe are situated according to the different grades of living entities under the influence of the modes of material nature. There are three modes of material nature, and when they are mixed with one another, they become nine. When the nine are mixed, they become 81, and the 81 also become mixed, and thus we ultimately do not know how the delusion increases and increases. So I was thinking that perhaps through the perspective of the six enemies of the mind, we can perhaps decipher these six enemies of the mind and categorize them into goodness, passion, and ignorance. And hopefully we can try and assess internally where we are in our lives in regards to these six enemies, and how we can just, even if we just move from ignorance to passion, passion to goodness, and if we're already at goodness, how we can transcend that to Sudha Sattva. Does that sound okay? Okay, so what are the six enemies of the mind? Anyone want to shout out any one of them? Sorry? Pride, okay. Envy. Anger, lust.
Greed.
Illusion. Madness. Okay, we got them all. So, let's start with lust. If you were to try and describe lust, anyone, how would you describe lust? Could we get the mic, please?
Indriya Priti Vancha Tare Valiya. Desire to satisfy one's own senses is called lust.
Okay, the desire to satisfy one's senses is lust. Okay, so it's very much about me and pleasing my senses. Everyone happy with that? Anyone want to add to that?
It's uncontrolled.
It's uncontrolled. Okay, so we'll look at the different extents of lust through goodness, passion, and ignorance. Anyone want to add anything else? Lust. It's a force.
It's like a burning fire.
It's like
that compels you to do things that you know are not good for you.
Yeah, it's almost like that's there in the Bhagavad Gita, right? That Arjuna is asking Krishna, what is this force that is impelling us to do things that we do not even want to do? Okay, great. So I think that's a good definition. You want to add something else? No? Okay. So if we were to try and categorize lust into ignorance, passion, and goodness, let's start with ignorance. What would lust in the mode of ignorance look like? Anyone? Yeah. Damodar Prabhu? Can we get the mic?
Things that cause suffering for us now and you know then and in the future. So it's like, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, kind of like that.
Okay. Yeah. Anyone want to elaborate on that, just to make it a bit more relevant for ignorance? Yeah. We get the mic?
Yeah. Activities,
harmful activity, yeah. So I'm liking that. So we are performing lust, but it's almost destructive. We're not caring of what's in our way. We're willing to cause harm to others in order to try and gratify our senses. Yes, Purujan Prabhu?
But there's in ignorance.
Yes.
There's the innocent ignorance as well.
Yes.
Which you consider.
Yes.
And they can be enlightened.
Yeah. That is true. But we're speaking specifically about lust. Okay. And we want to know how to transform that from the lower modes to the higher modes. Okay, so I think we've discussed lust in the mode of ignorance. So what does lust in the mode of passion look like? Anyone?
Uncontrolled hankering.
Yeah, there's a bit of hankering and it's uncontrolled, this sensuous desire. And it's very much selfish. You're not necessarily causing harm to others. Not necessarily. You want to share something? Accumulation of wealth. Yes, desire to hoard. Yep, wealth. Yes, Srinivas Prabhu. Yeah, if you can speak on the mic, it'll be better for the benefit of those listening online.
According to Bharat Bhushan, lust should be killed. You shouldn't even pay attention to lust, because lust is an enemy which cannot be detected.
Yes.
Anger can be detected.
Yes.
But lust cannot be detected. So you shouldn't pay attention to lust at all.
Yes. At least perhaps you don't have lust, but I know at least within my heart I've got some lust. I'm trying to learn how to transform that. Good. Okay, so I think we've covered lust in the mode of passion. What does lust look like in goodness? No, not quite. It's not Krishna conscious. I think it's something else. Damodar Prabhu?
False prestige.
False prestige.
To try and, yeah, to be recognized and to...
Jai Shishi Radhika Kula Nanda Ki Jai Sitaram Lakshmanan Man Ki Jai Kurantai Ki Jai Guru Parampara Ki Jai. Sorry, you were saying false prestige. So remember, we're looking at lust in the mode of goodness.
Enjoying the knowledge.
Enjoying the knowledge, okay. Expanding more and more, okay. Yeah. Yeah, so it's almost like it's moving from our selfishness, now it's a little bit more selfless. We're willing to do things for family, society, and it's, yeah, the greater good. Yeah.
Wanting to make like a beautiful,
sustainable
material situation for our own comfort and pleasure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's very much still our own comfort and pleasure there. It's almost like, maybe you could think of it as extended sense gratification as well, perhaps. Yeah?
Using lust as a sense of responsibility and duty.
Yeah, sure, yeah, yeah. People dutifully following dharma, artha, karma. Yeah, okay, I'm liking that. Yeah? Kamlesh Prabhu?
Utilizing the knowledge of Shastra for our own intellectual glorification, like Shastra-artha, not getting actual the conclusion of it.
Okay, okay, good. And then if we were to think of it in terms of Sudha-sattva, how would we think of lust? If we were looking at it from the pure perspective. Yes, Madhuri at the back. Pardon? Okay, so from what I understood, you're almost transforming it, you're almost making it towards the Lord. It's no more selfish, it's more selfless, but it's not just selfless, it's doing it for the pleasure of the Lord, devotional service. Okay, great. Anyone want to add to that?
Spiritual desires for serving the Lord.
Okay, great. I think we have covered lust in the three different modes. Great. So let's cover anger next. If we were to try and define anger, how would we define anger? I can give you a hint. Think about the Bhagavad Gita. What does the Lord say about... can we get the mic there? Tamadhar.
Anger would be unsatisfied lust, which causes frustration.
Okay, so we want to please our senses, but then an obstacle comes up, and because I can't gratify my senses, anger arises. Great. Anyone want to add to that? Yes? Taruna Prabhu?
More or less,
all anger comes because we lose control over situation, over other people, and then we cannot take it. So that's a core of the anger, basically. You just lose control. You realize you're not controller, but you don't like it, something like that.
Yeah. And it's almost like what Krishna says in the Gita, right, that from anger, complete delusion arises, and from delusion, bewilderment of memory. So all of these other effects happen from anger. Good. I think, yeah, you want to share something else, yeah? Okay. Okay. Wow. Sure. Yeah, it manifests through the different senses in a violent way. Yep. Happy with that. Great. So let's think of anger in the three different modes then. How would anger in the mode of ignorance look like? Hurting someone. Okay. It's irrational, okay, yep, it's not rational, yep. Smashing things, violence, self-destruction, okay, great. I know we need like multiple mics. cool. Okay, yeah. So yeah, it's almost uncontrolled, right? Like we cause destruction, we don't know what we're doing. Great, that's anger in the mode of ignorance. What about anger in the mode of passion? What does that look like? Revenge. Pardon? Revenge, okay.
Possessiveness? Towards like another person.
Towards like another person, okay.
When you want to harm somebody, but you do it very strategically, calculatingly.
Sure. Okay, strategically calculating. That almost sounds a bit more like anger in the mode of... it sounds a bit more like goodness to me, but okay. Yep, at the back.
Passive-aggressiveness,
yeah, okay. Sure. Yeah, for agent approval.
Passive-aggressiveness is when somebody is harboring thoughts.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah, eventually. Yeah.
Yelling and arguing.
Okay, yep, I'm liking that. So this form of like frustration. Harsh speech. Okay, I'm liking that. Yeah. Everyone think we've covered anger in the mode of passion. What about anger in the mode of goodness? What does that look like? Sorry? It's controlled and has a purpose, okay.
Politics?
Do you want to expand on that? I'm a bit intrigued.
Okay.
Just if you could just repeat on the mic, yeah.
You do to politics, so you put another person down through the politics behind his back or something like that.
Okay. I was thinking maybe that's a little bit more passion, maybe behind someone's back. It's still, yeah, slightly different. Anyone want to share something else? Yep.
Educational anger?
Okay, yeah, so it's like justified, yeah. So maybe your child has done something, you're angry. It's not that you hate them or something, it's just like justified. You just want them to learn the lesson, so it's something along those lines, yep.
To protect someone that's being harmed?
To protect someone that's being harmed, yeah. So you see somebody that's being harmed and you're getting angry that, you know, why are you doing this? Yes, Prabhu?
Anger amongst us to thrive.
Sorry, anger?
Anger amongst us to thrive more.
Anger on oneself to thrive more, okay. Do you want to expand on that? Sorry, I'm just not getting it.
People are ambitious, so, and if they are not working hard, they are hard on themselves. So.
Okay. I see that as almost being a bit more selfish, so then maybe that's a little bit more in the mode of passion?
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. What do you think?
Just because it's constructive anger.
Because it's constructive anger. Okay.
I was thinking similar, like getting angry with oneself for doing something stupid. You know, like,
oh, okay. Yeah, sure. Okay. Yeah, okay. Thanks. Yeah, I'm happy with that. Yeah. Thanks for explaining. Yeah. Activism for, yeah, justice, yeah, and fighting specifically for the right reason, right? We can fight for justice, but we can fight for justice for the wrong reason, so we're doing it for the right reason. Okay, and what does anger look like on the pure spiritual platform? Yeah? Yeah, somebody who hasn't shared something, yeah?
Krishna engaged Arjuna's anger on the battlefield of Kurukshetra.
Yes.
And Lord Ramachandra engaged Hanuman's anger against the kingdom of Lanka.
Yeah, great. Thank you for bringing some Shastric examples, yeah?
Anger promotes someone insults the Lord or his devotees.
Devotees, yes. Becoming angry when somebody is insulting the Lord or his devotees, yes? Okay, yeah, great. Thank you, yeah. Yeah, the role of the guru is to help purify. We spoke about at the beginning, purify that intention and that action. Yes? Yeah, protect devotees and the Lord. Okay, great. I think we've covered anger. Everyone happy? Okay, let's see if we can get the last few just before breakfast. Greed. Yeah. What does it look like, sorry, in the mode of ignorance? I didn't specify. Yes. Sorry. Can we just get the mic across? Yeah.
I think in the mode of ignorance, the greed is that you want everything. You'll try to get it at any cost.
At any cost, yes.
At any cost, you'll try to get it. So that's the mode of ignorance, greed.
Yeah, yeah. You're doing it almost at any cost. It's like destructive. You just... getting people out of the way, if it means I need to harm this one or do this or do that, I'll do it. Stealing, okay. Yes. Okay. Okay, eating, sleeping, mating, those propensities. I almost see that even those propensities, you could still categorize them. It depends on how you do it. I don't necessarily think that just because you satisfy eating, sleeping, necessarily it's in the mode of ignorance, if that makes sense. Yeah. Okay, so I think we've covered greed in the mode of ignorance. What does greed in the mode of passion look like?
Gambling.
Gambling, okay. Corruption, okay. Yeah, this one for power, prestige, money, opulence.
So much wealth do I have today, and so much more will I gain according to my
schemes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that pretty much summarizes it quite well. Great. What about greed in the mode of goodness? What does that look like? Yes. Sure, yeah. You're doing it for like a good cause, a noble cause, for a charity. Could be donating money for a hospital, some education establishment. Okay, no further comments. Good. Greed, sudasattva, what does that look like, anyone?
Lolium,
yes, great. So greed for spiritual life. Great. We got there very quickly. What about illusion? Anyone want to define illusion? Okay. Yep, I'm happy with that. But if we were to try and like define a little bit more so we can categorize into goodness, passion, ignorance, how would we do that? So I want another definition for illusion, please.
Illusion is anything which is not connected to the world.
Yeah, so we're not seeing things as they are, right?
Seeing something as reality when it's not reality.
Yeah, great. Everyone happy with that? Okay, so what does illusion look like in the mode of ignorance? Intoxication, okay. Bodily concept of life, yep, so we're totally ignorant. Sorry? Madness, okay. I am the Lord of all I survey, okay. You're going to say something? Madness, okay, already said it, okay, cool. What about illusion in the form of goodness? What does that look like? Pardon? I can't hear you, sorry. Yeah, so what does that look like, illusion in the mode of passion? What does that look like? Party life, okay. Yeah. Yeah, so I think the other illusion in the mode of ignorance is more that you're causing harm to others, you're totally like illusioned, if that makes sense, whereas this one's a bit more passionate, you're doing the illusion, you think, yeah, for like your family, society, etc. You're still illusion in that sense, but at least it's a little bit more, yeah, it's still got the mode of passion, so it's a little bit more, yeah, passionate, I guess. Sorry? Looking for the adrenaline, yeah, sure.
Thinking like wealth, power, status, etc. are the goal of life.
Yeah, it's the goal of, yeah, so I'm liking that definition. Lying a lot, yeah, sure. You think you're going to get something, yeah. What about, sorry?
Like technological advances, like VR, like
okay. Let's maybe come to that later. Actually, I don't think we're going to have time. But yeah, I think that's a slightly separate topic. But yes. What about illusion in the mode of goodness? What does that look like? Okay. Okay, yes. Okay. Thinking we can be happy without Krishna. Mayavad, okay. So I was thinking maybe in this sense you can perhaps see the distinction between matter and spirit, but perhaps you're still engaging with the world, perhaps. Whereas in the pure spiritual world, you know, yeah, Sudhasattva is like, you know, you do things as they are. If that makes sense. Were you going to share something? No? Okay. Yeah, Damodar Prabhu?
Just an illusion in pure goodness, I was thinking like Srimad Radharani speaking with the bumblebee and things like this.
Yeah, that's the transcendental illusion, yes. Great. So let's just quickly rattle through. I'm conscious of time, so we'll just quickly go through pride then. Pride in the mode of ignorance, it's almost like foolish pride. You gain pride for the wrong things, could be destructive. Pride in the mode of goodness, for riches, beauty, opulence. And then pride in the mode of goodness is perhaps you are proud, but it's found in something like more in the mode of goodness. So perhaps there's more gratitude there. It's not just more selfish, it's a bit more selfless. Anyone want to share anything on that? In watching media, yes. Yes, certainly the media can affect all these different enemies of the mind, and it can perpetuate more the mode of passion and ignorance. Okay. Yes, Damodar Prabhu.
That they're attached to their learning.
Sorry, attached to?
Their learning.
To journaling, okay.
Sorry, to their learning. Learning.
Learning, learning, learning. Okay, yes. Knowledge, yes.
You can find the mode of goodness.
Okay.
Is that what you're asking?
No, I was just asking if anyone has any... Yeah, pride in the mode of goodness, or just in general, does anyone have any comments? Because I just rattled through that quite quickly. Okay. You're proud for your family, you're doing a noble profession, you're proud of that, you're proud of nationalism, yep.
Self-righteousness.
Self-righteousness, okay. Cool. Let's just cover the last one, envy then. What does envy in the mode of ignorance look like? Yes, Sagar? Okay, yeah, so they wanted the wealth, but they're willing to annihilate their opponents at whatever cost, whether it was killing them, doing this, that. Okay, good. I think that's a good example. What about envy in the mode of passion? Competition, okay.
My religion is the best religion.
Okay. So I could almost see, think of it in terms of jealousy. So in envy, you're willing to put the other person down, whereas jealous, you're just like, oh, I want that other thing. Happy with that? What about envy in the mode of ignorance? Goodness, beg your pardon. So if we think about jealousy in the mode of passion, what is it? What do we think something in the mode of, sorry? Envy of knowledge, appreciate, okay.
A condescending attitude,
okay. Okay. Yeah, so I think, so it's almost appreciation in the mode of goodness. You're appreciating, you like that quality and you're just appreciating it. You don't necessarily want to put that other person down, or you're not jealous in that, so why do they have this and why not me? But you're just appreciative. Happy with that? Anyone want to share anything else? No, okay. So thank you. So what I just wanted to quickly share was something from Narottam Das Thakur. He shares in the Prema Bhakti Chandrika how he engages these six enemies of the mind. And I was just looking to see how, whether or not we'll get close to it. So he says in chapter 2, verse 9, I will engage lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, and pride in their proper places. In this way, I will defeat the enemies, and with ecstasy in my heart, I will worship Govinda without difficulty. Text 10. I will engage my lust in eagerness to serve Krishna, and I will use my anger against those who are envious of the devotees. I will be greedy to hear the topics of Hari in the association of the devotees. I will be illusioned if I fail to achieve my worshipable Lord, and I will feel proud to chant the glories of Krishna. In this way, I'll engage them in their respective duties. I'll just read the next two verses. I think it's good. Otherwise, independent lusty desires, which are the source of all unwanted things, will always disturb the path of devotional service. What harm can lusty desires and anger do to a practitioner of devotional service if he associates with the devotees? Anger spoils everything. Therefore, I will give up anger, greed, and illusion. I will control the six enemies with the help of my mind while remembering Lord Krishna. All the enemies will run away by hearing the sound vibration of Govinda's name, just as a deer flee upon hearing the roar of a lion. One who performs unalloyed devotional service will feel great happiness, and all his dangers will be vanquished. Jai. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premnande Hari Hari Bol. Pancha Kalpa Thubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patita Nam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha.